love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, automatically deleted again, and still pursuing reconciliation with the woman who committed her life to me and the woman I am committed to, and at least one of us remains in that state. I was going to be a little more in depth tonight, but I won't because I mentioned that I was going to have the phone call with my friend Corey that happened this morning, and we were on the phone for 90 minutes. And the thing that I can't emphasize enough, here is a man. We never met face to face. We've been on the phone before. We've never been on the phone for 90 minutes before, but we understand each other in the sense we understand that we have a fundamentally different foundation. He subscribes to the Latter-day Saint perspective, and obviously I don't. I do subscribe to the Bible alone, not the Book of Mormon, Pearl of Great Price, and Doctrines and Covenants, the Quad. But so we have a different foundation. We both understand that the other person is wrong to the point that it will be extremely costly. But we have a respectful, reasoned dialogue with each other. And today was marvelous. Because, you know, just because we disagree in some fundamentals, which are rather important, there are other things that we can actually engage on to talk about. We talked a bit on marriage. We were using the mask issue as kind of our jumping off point, because the question is, how do we engage others on that? Where is it appropriate to contend well, and where is it to simply say, okay, because of the circumstances, I'm not going to fight this issue, and potentially even submit in the form of wearing a mask? As I've stated before, I've never worn a mask. However, you know, I thought about it because the obvious example is my friend Mike, because his health is not the greatest. And then, of course, there was the example of Lynn, but then she died. She ended up in the hospital. I wondered if I had to go to the hospital, would I have to wear a mask? But that became academic. And then, of course, what happens if Gary or somebody else is in a situation where the only way I can actually engage them is to put on a mask? Would I do it? And I think the obvious answer is yes, because it is not going to be something that is morally reprehensible. However, to just blindly submit simply because, you know, it's the example we use, it's the idea of paying taxes. No, the you know, Christ says, you know, the children are free. So there is no need. However, do not to cause offense, pay the tax. And which is consistent, I would suggest, with Romans 13, or as Chris says, pay your taxes and don't revolt. So that there is a consistency there, because that's not the issue. The person to love is. And see, the issue is we were basically on the same page on this. You know, some minor differences, but the overall attitude that obedience to Christ comes first. And if in order to love well, we have to do something that is, well, basically dumb. Wearing a mask is dumb, but you still do it simply because the person you're dealing with, again, the example, somebody in a hospital, that's more important than fighting that battle of the mask. So that was marvelous, and there were a number of other issues. This morning, oh, I'm going to get long. This morning I studied Jude verse 3, beloved. Well, and because I quoted this to Corey, I quoted King James, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write you unto the common salvation, which is needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." I examine that in my look at each Greek word, and some of the things. You know, to exhort you, or the ESV. I'm sure you used that ahead of here. I found it necessary to write, appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. But I've focused on the for a long time earnestly contend or contend earnestly, simply because that's the apogonizomai, which, you know, is based on agonizomai, which I've gone into in depth. But the appealing, right? Appealing. It's interesting. The right is graphe, which is... Or graphos, whichever it is, because the all scripture is God breathed. All scripture, graphic. Anyway, because obviously the idea of graph or graphic is something we understand in English, and that is to write or to something written, specifically the scripture. And the other thing I found, there's the song, "My name is graven on his hand," and that's the idea of writing in. If you look at the definition, that's kind of like, wow. Anyway, I found that. But the appealing to you, it is the parakaleo. When I saw that, it just blew me away. Parakaleo, which is often translated as encourage. Para, near, and kaleo, to call. So to call near. To write you, to call, appealing to you, to call you near. And just to see that in context just was magnificent. That was once, the word there that says that is translated as once means once, one time. Because one of the issues, and you see this with the Roman Catholic Church that uses the magisterium to say, we will interpret the Bible for you. And in the same way, the LDS Church does the same thing. They have the group of 12, committee of 12, whatever it is. The modern day prophets who interpret things. And it's kind of like, no, I'm sorry. No, it was delivered once for all. We don't need modern interpretations. It was delivered once. And that was kind of to have that clarity. The other thing that was so neat was once delivered, okay, delivered, paradidomai, which again, para, near, and didomai, which is to give. So to give near or to put into your hand. It's not a trivial matter, but it has there's a consistency in the scripture that is marvelous. And I went further because when you read about the traditions of men, such as in Mark 7, or the traditions that were taught by us, which is 2 Timothy 2:15. The traditions of men, this is something that is handed down. Okay? And so specifically, we're talking something handed down by men, the Mark 7, or through the traditions that were taught you by us, by the prophets, by the apostles. So it's a different source. And what is the word? Paradosis, which is their tradition in a noun form compared to the paradidomai, which is the delivered in the verb form. And to see that there is, it's the same word, again, the noun versus the verb, but it helps give you the context that the Jude, verse 3, face that was once delivered, delivered. So it was literally put into your hands. One time. Not with modern interpretations. It was done once. And it was done to the saints. It's those who are holy, it's literally holy, which is by definition the elect. So it's not that we need something new. And to see all that, I'm sorry, I'm getting long, but it was magnificent to explore this on my own afterwards. I talked a bit with Chris about this, and then of course this is part of the thing that. As I engage Corey, because we don't have the complete shared foundation, but we engage each other. And that engaging each other is such a big deal. And, you know, it is more than offensive. Really, a whole lot more than offensive that my family won't engage me. Institutional church won't engage me. The word, again, is cowardice. It's unloving. It's downright hate. And I am hoping that one day someone, you know, as I'm trying to poke through, to reach out, to encourage, to call nearer, that we'll have an example of sum paracleo, to mutually encourage, to mutually call near. So if one person will break through that barrier, this whole house of cards can come trembling down. And I think the blessings from that will be magnificent. I pray that day is coming, and I pray it soon. My lady, I love you.